You are now listening to the Hack My Age podcast, the show that brings you guests for biohacking women over 50. I'm your host, Zora Benamou, a gerontologist, digital nomad, certified sports nutrition, and breathing coach. I'm the author of the Longevity Master Plan, the cookbook Eating for Longevity, and a new upcoming energy reboot program for women over 50. Now, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, and I would really appreciate it if you could please leave a review on Apple Podcasts to help others find us too. This is a really small but very critical gesture that makes a huge impact for me to support a podcast for older women, help us grow stronger, get our voice out there, and attract even more amazing guests to the show for you and for me. You can now watch all of our podcast interviews and more on the Hack My Age YouTube channel. Some of our interviews include slideshows, so it's great to have. Every day there is a new video, so just search Hack My Age on YouTube.com or find the link on the HackMyAge.com website. Easy peasy. Before we start the show, I need to tell you that I'm going to go to the Profound Health Summit in London from September 30th to October 2nd, 2022. And it's a jam-packed weekend. We're going to meet some of the guests we already had on the show in person, like Dr. Bill Laurence, who will teach us even more about peptides, and Phil Mikins, who shared how to reverse macular degeneration and cataracts. And you're going to love all the other guests who will focus on peptides and their role in epigenetics of aging and improving our health and more importantly, our health span. So we're going to have time for drinks, a fancy tea break, three-course lunch and dinner, and time for networking with some of the most brilliant minds and aging. And it's in a really luxurious setting too, at the Gluten Hoo Golf and Spa Resort. So make sure you make time to join me in the sauna. Early bird tickets are now available. And whether you book now or later, use the code Zora, Z-O-R-A, to get a free entry to the VIP cocktail and a free consultation with me, maybe even while we're in the sauna. So go to profound-health-summit.com for all the details, and I'll see you there. Okay. Well, today we get to meet one of my favorite biohacking superheroes, Kristen Weitzel. Just thinking of her actually brings to mind Wonder Woman. So Kristen is the founder of Warrior Woman Mode. She is a health and high performance maven, nutrition specialist, certified fitness trainer, and exposure therapy coach. And she'll explain what that is in a minute. Part of her gift to the world is to open people up to the physical and emotional expansion of breath work and cold exposure. There's another hint. She's literally the ice queen. So Kristen also hosts the Well Power podcast, which blends biohacking and wellness subject matter expertise and really inspiring guests. We learn just how far we can go in the pursuit of optimal performance with Kristen. So you've got to listen to this. She is truly a progressive voice for women in the biohacking space, trailblazing the path for the rest of us. And she's a dynamic leader who speaks at so many health events, including the Biohacking Congress and Dave Asprey's Biohacking Conference, just to name a couple. And she's
September Biohacking Conference in September. I'm speaking on cold.
Again, woo! Yeah, in September 2022, right?
Yeah. I think it's like the weekend of the 19th, and I'm talking all things cold. Last time I talked women's biohacking this time, and I was excited about it. And this time I'm like so stoked to talk about cold.
Yeah, you're the ice queen, and you are a badass. So without further ado, let's meet this Wonder Woman. So welcome, Kristen.
Thanks for having me, Zora. I'm so glad to be here with you. We have so much intermingling in our lives across all planes of health and wellness, and we get to get a little time today together. We really need to do like in-person coffee throwdown or whatever, hoedown. Someone said to call it a hoedown, but I just feel like that's a little bit odd. We'll get there one day.
We have to do an ice bath. Like, you know, I'm shocked that I haven't had you on the podcast yet. Like this is really bad, but I'm finally got you here. And I'm so, so glad because we do have some parallel lives and have very, very similar beliefs. And I'm just so excited to share you with my audience. And if they don't know you, they will certainly never forget you now. Let's first hear
your version of what biohacking is and how you got into this space, because I know that, you know, my audience is biohacking women 50 plus, but I'm sure there are plenty out there who go, what is biohacking?
Yeah, the biohacking thing is interesting, isn't it? Because so many people have sort of different definitions. And then I talk a lot about, sometimes it's like easier to say what it's not, but because Instagram is so interesting. People are like, you know, it's a butt shot on the beach and, you know, seagulls in the background, and they're like, hashtag biohacking. And you know what? Like, if someone gives the right context, then this is what everything is about in the fitness and wellness world, is what is your context? And we will talk about that today. It's like, cool. Did you go to the gym and do a whole bunch of specific tempo style squats during your estrogenic period of your cycle? And then you're outside in nature. And like, maybe that's all the biohacking that got you that booty peach with the seagulls in the background, or maybe you just want an ass shot hashtag. And it feels like, okay, but you know, it is biohacking in some ways. I don't like to abuse the term too much. I do think it's important to make it approachable because it's not going away. And we don't love the hacking word always, you know, just generally speaking, some people are like, but hacking sounds like I'm taking a shortcut or it's dangerous. And really for me, biohacking is using ancient practices all the way up through modern technology and these innovations that we have come across or shown up in the world, and picking and choosing the things that are going to shift your state externally and internally in order to feel better, faster, stronger, smarter, healthier, so we can all live longer. And it's not about living longer for the sake of living longer. I think it's about living longer so we can really get the meat out of the fruit of life. And that's a lot of what my journey is about. And that's what I want. I work with predominantly females, but men and women and athletes alike. I think getting the meat out of life contextually for our own goals is the most important thing that we can lean in. Ooh, Claudia, great question. Ancient practices like breath work. Even today, speaking about cold, like no one alive today is the first person to be doing breath work or cold exposure. And those practices have been around for thousands of years. And it's super beautiful that they're coming more into fashion again for many of the places in the world that never had cold exposure. You know, if you look at Scandinavia and you look at Asia, they've been doing cold practices and therapies forever. Naked even. Ooh.
I know. I heard about your trip to Finland.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love the fact that you brought in the ancient practices, because a lot of people think about biohacking, you know, we're using biology to hack our body or do something different, but they always think it's just some supplement or some super drug or some, you know, gadget. And, you know, although we use those things, you know, we really do have that foundation. And I love to, I think these hacks are quote unquote hacks or these shortcuts, or, you know, these are more like a supplement to an already healthy diet and lifestyle. We have that foundation of the breath work or the ice bathing or the, you know, the community that we have, the nutrition, the sport, all that stuff. I mean, it really needs to be there in that base, that strong foundation. And then all those other little extra things of PRP or, you know, some extra, I don't know, nootropics or some supplements, you know, those are kind of icings on the cake. Then they work. They are miracles when you have that foundation. But if you don't, a lot of people just want to cut to the chase and get straight to that thing, that hack. And then
the glamorous stuff. Yeah.
And it doesn't work, or kind of works, not really. And that's because they don't have that foundation. So I really love that people like you are bringing that, exposing that and showing that it's not just some shortcut. So how did you get into the biohacking space?
I mean, it's a long and winding road. I'll make the long story short. I was a dancer. I was around a lot of body dysmorphia. And then I started getting really curious about what kind of food I could put in my body and still have the energy. I basically was like, how can I still eat some of the crap I was eating and some of the things that I love and stay within the ballerina physique that I sort of needed to have in order to stay in the dance world. And I also was like burning calories at a decently high rate as a kid, as we do. I just really wanted to know how to like keep the energy to be able to do it all. You know, later on showed up in my life in ways where, you know, I needed to understand how to quell some alpha energy from, I have quite a bit of energy. I think I figured out a lot of the ways to boost that energy, but I wove myself through a 10, 15 year corporate career. And I was the chick who was kind of made fun of drinking butter coffee and discovering Dave Asprey, discovering Bulletproof. I started even before Dave. I was like really a reader of Mark Sisson's work and the whole the primal movement that was like around food, but also physical well-being and getting sun. And I mean, Mark really had so much of it right. And what I loved about Mark was I was a performing arts major. And so, and I went to performing arts high school. And so what I loved about Mark was like, I didn't have a lot of science in my schooling and background. In the university level, I took like theories of light and sound. I wasn't taking science or biology or biochem. And Mark would read these oodles and oodles amount of research and then just to distill it down into like a very intelligently written, but approachable like blog post. That really set me spinning into other ways I could like lean into optimizing my wellness and tried a lot of things and failed at some things, you know, as we do, right? Because we have to understand, like I was talking about in the opening, context, like what is our context? Are we a man? Are we a woman in the world physiologically? Are we training for a triathlon? Are we trying to look good naked? Are we wanting to be like powerlift the 500 pounds? Or, you know, what's our context? Play a sport? What's our context? Yeah. So it became fascinating to me and it's sort of become a lifelong, not sort of, it's become a lifelong study. I'm a student of nutrition and I'm a nutrition specialist and I guide people with nutrition and I certified to coach people and fitness training. And it's, I'm always learning and always applying new things. Most recently running, which is a wild challenge for me to layer into my life.
When you want to run a marathon or?
I will say this really briefly, which is I have a very close friend of mine who I love dearly. His name is Will. He lives in Australia. He is running across the continent to raise awareness for veterans, PTSD, suicidal tendencies, anxiety, stress, things like that. And the continent of Australia is massive. And he's running it in 3 months. So 55 kilometers a day, which is, it's like an ultra a day. So a year and a half ago, he called me and said, I'm going to do this. And I was like, cool. And he said, I'm going to invite like 5 people to do a leg with me. And I want you to be one of them. And I thought, awesome. No problem. It's a year and a half away. And I finally just booked my flight 7 days ago because he's been training for 18 months and he's doing so well. And I'm running 7 days in a row with him. He'll run 55K. My intent for me will to be to run a marathon a day, 7 days in a row. Maybe I'll do more. Maybe I'll do less. There is a support car. So if I feel like I need to take a breather, I can, which I think is an intelligent way for me to be able to say yes and wholeheartedly cheerlead him on and support him in that process and endeavor without putting myself or his record at risk because I have not been a lifelong runner. Certainly athlete and advocate of fitness, but running that many miles takes some things to learn, which I'm learning them all now. I'm jumping rope. I'm wearing water vests. I'm running in the street. I don't know what I'm doing. It's awesome. It's making me learn. Like this is the way we keep our mind fresh.
I love it. This is so great. It's so inspiring. To start off with, I have to recognize that, yeah, Mark Sisson was somebody, that's how I fell into their sort of this area. And I completely didn't think about it until you just said it. And he was great. He has I'm not sure if I'm following his blog anymore, but Mark's Daily Apple, it was fantastic. I don't know if he's still doing it, but I learned so much from him. And I absolutely agree that was a pretty good starting point that launched me as well towards the biohacking space. But I love that you decided to take on this challenge. Last year, I was agreed to do a bike ride for AIDS Life Cycle from San Francisco to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
With a friend who's done it before. He convinced me to do it. And I had to drop out because I got invited to the Biohacking Congress. And so he said, come back next year. So I plan to do that next year. and I'm the same. I'm not a bike rider. This is a new thing, but I think the fun thing is learning and seeing how far your body can go. And like you said, you know, if you can't do it or don't pressure yourself, there's always the car that can help take you away. But you certainly try your best. I think I love that. So I'm going to be following you on that journey.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. It's exciting. And for anyone who's like listening to this and Claudia and Shannon, I love you, Shannon. So nice to see you here after just seeing you a week or so ago. This is the thing in life, right? I get more and more into this, at this context thing, but it's like, I'm coaching all these women. I'm doing all these ice baths. I'm doing breath. I don't need motivation to do that. Like some days it's like harder than others, but I'm stoked to get and figure out what I can do with a gears in my breathing or how I can make myself dizzy or whatever, right? I'm stoked to get in the cold water. I don't have like a fear around that because I know how healthy the practice can be for me. And that being said, sometimes in life we need something to show up, and it doesn't just show up because randomly it shows up. Let's be clear. It's happening for you. It shows up your life cycle, this run for me. When it was presented to me, I was like, how can I do that? I'm coaching people. I'm really good at all these other things, but I'm going to go run in like Australia and it's going to be hot and challenging. And this showed up surely because it makes me put context back to my life. And instead of just like coaching people and keeping myself at the status quo of my health, it's pushing me to do something. And it was so scary to make the choice and book the plane ticket. And like, also it's scary for me. Meanwhile, look what Will's doing. So like, no shortage of like inspiration, this guy I'm going to go run with. But that showed up because I put context back in my life. So I could put context back in my life and then find my edges, because we get a little comfy sometimes. And so now here's this thing. And I run into friends that are like, what are you doing? Are you going to be okay? And that is fine to have that response. And also they're like, okay, 5 minutes later, like, okay, I'm coming around. I know you, I can't talk you out of it. So how can I support you? Like, what do you need? Or, you know, here's what I know about running or whatever it might be. And so that's really beautiful to see that, and to say it out loud even feels almost like imposter syndrome. Like I'm saying it out loud and I'm running and I'm jumping rope and I'm like, am I doing this? I'm 3 days into training. I have 8 weeks. I'm booking a plane. I'm getting on the road with him. So I got to do the work. That message is just something I want to share with people, that sometimes these things show up that feel like challenges. If someone tells you to go, come jump off a bridge and you're super scared and it's like a bungee thing, and maybe that's not the thing for you. We all want to make autonomous, intelligent decisions. And if you feel like there's some measure of safety there and it's scary, take a good look at it before you say no, because it might be the thing that is getting you to leap and the net will appear, right? This is cold exposure for many people. Is this scary?
Yeah, this is a very great analogy, you know, just taking that leap of faith for doing a cold exposure, right? And you just make that decision you're going to do it, not do it. And sometimes the journey or the anticipation could be great or not so great.
This episode is sponsored by Primadine, a supplement that if I had to choose only one, it would pretty much be this one. It's because Primadine is spermidine, and this has been shown to activate autophagy, which is super important. And it's basically a cellular cleanup and recycling process that declines as we age. When we get older, our cells accumulate a lot of junk and a lot of waste, and this isn't really great for us. So we need to clean it up. So if you want some research, go to primadine.com and you can see all of it supporting cognitive health and heart health, hormone balancing, and long and strong hair, nails, and eyelashes by using spermidine. So another very important reason why I love Primadine in particular so much is that I've never had received ever as much feedback about a product as I have with Primadine. Literally several times a week, someone reaches out to me on Facebook or Instagram with an amazing testimonial. And most of the time, it's about improved sleep. So I can honestly say that I can 100% be convinced now that Primadine is the best spermidine supplement you'll ever find. And you can try it with a 15% discount by using the code Zora, Z-O-R-A, on primadine.com. And that's P-R-I-M-E-A-D-I-N-E.com. Now enjoy the show.
I want you to explain, first of all, what is cold exposure or cold therapy in general, and so give people a little bit of background.
Yeah, for sure. So it's been around, like I was saying earlier, cold water immersion, cold exposure, the key phrase being intentional or deliberate cold exposure. More and more I've been using, as I run a training called Sherpa Breath and Cold for instructors. This is how I met Shannon. Well, it's not, we stalked each other on social media for a long time first, but it's how we got interwoven. And more and more I've been using this term intentional cold exposure, because deliberate cold exposure is one thing, but like, I want you to apply your context to it. Context being physiology, age, what you're doing for sport, if you're using it for recovery, if you're using it for your salvation, whatever it might be, right? Your science or your woo, what's that context and making it intentional? People do ice swimming, people get in cold showers, people will get into cryotherapy chambers. I think even Claudia was mentioning here, is people are like, get jumping into the snow, walking in a smaller, lighter amount of clothing in really cold weather can be a modicum of cold exposure. And so deliberate or intentional is the important word. This is not about falling through a hole in the ice and getting hypothermic. It is about taking care of yourself by utilizing cold as a tool or a variable for shape-shifting your health and optimizing it.
What are the benefits and differences, because there are differences between cryotherapy and ice bathing, for example? What can people expect? Why do this at all?
That's what my mom was like. I don't quite understand still. 6 years of being putting yourself. I used to take my mom to like the Korean spas in New York City.
Oh, the Jim Jill bangs.
Oh my God. And I loved it, like 18, 19 years old. And I loved it. And I always was like, the cold is titillating and it's so crazy. And I think I thought it was like edgy, which it is in some ways, but I didn't know how to breathe through it, or I didn't know how to manage it. And there would be like, even like when I was in LA, there'd be like two little girls of the owners or something in the cold water. And they'd be like, we're being popsicles. And they're all excited. I'm like, how are these girls tolerating this? You know, it's the most beautiful practice to get immersed in water. And I say that first, not because if all you have accessible is a cold shower, which I live in Texas, the water's not cold. I mean, it's cool. If all you have is a cold shower, and if all you have is access to a cryotherapy unit, then cool, then do that. Amazing. You can get benefits of it that are around sleep, around mitigating some of your DOM. So if you're like working out or strength training, you can get a reduction in delayed onset muscle soreness that you might see, you know, that thing that happens like a day or two after you work out. A mood boosting for sure. And that's a really big one, especially in females being more susceptible, physiological females being more susceptible to sleeplessness, anxiety, and stress, rumination. That's a neurochemical thing in our genetic makeup. Because we're more susceptible and as we age, that seems and tends to increase in the literature that we see. There is a mood boosting effect of cold showers and cryotherapy and cold water immersion across the board. But for those reasons, it's always going to be beneficial. That being said, I encourage everyone to find a way that they can incorporate some sort of ice bathing immersion practice into their life. Because when you look at some of the literature and the science, recognizing that it's a little bit all over the place, nothing says it's going to kill you. Everything is mostly in a positive direction. The challenges always become, is it like my half my body or up to my waist or up to my neck, or women of a certain age, or many, many men, which they've used a lot in the science, only menopausal women or only young college age guys. And it's like, enough college men, let's get some more women in the water. And then temperature, and then time. So it could, there's so many variables to play with, right? And these researchers are always doing a beautiful job of saying, okay, we have to quadrant down to a certain person type, and then we have to really make it strict and structured to be able to actually publish the research. But what we see is cold water immersion across the board is where all the longevity benefits live, where the mitochondrial health and function improves, where the brown adipose tissue is made. Many, many people who are like, brown adipose tissue, what is that? So adipose tissue is the fatty tissue of the body. Science will say there's some more, but let's just say there's three types. There's visceral fat, that's the fat around our organs that we need to be healthy, for our organs to be protected. And there is white fat and there is brown fat. And for all intents and purposes, again, a generalization, but there's beige fat too, but we won't go into it. There's white fat. And when women come to me and say, I want to lose weight, they don't want to lose weight. They want to lose body fat. Right? As we get older and we become more sarcopenic, that just happens as our hormones shift into perimenopause and menopause. Sarcopenia is just our muscles. We have some muscle wasting if we don't do the things to mitigate that. And we want, and this can sometimes raise our fat content. That's all white fat. Brown fat is a good fat. Brown fat is the fat you have on your body as a baby. It's the thing that make, you know, toddlers crawling across the room all Chubbykins style look so cute. And it's mostly across the back of the shoulders, certain areas in the body that helps with thermoregulation. It is really mitochondrially dense. And so it's energy and it is just gloriousness for your body to be able to live into a bit of its better self, meaning upregulating your cellular health, helping with immune response, lots of different things that happen there. So usually when people are like, I'm never getting an ice bath, and then I tell them how the metabolism boosts and how the brown fat burns white fat off your body faster, I can't even finish the sentence. And they're like, in the ice bath, under the water.
That's exactly the same technique I use, because that's the immediate response that we get. burns fat. Yeah. But yeah, explaining it, you explained that so well, actually, because a lot of people don't know, what the difference between brown fat and white fat, and you're burning fat, and that's really good. We can get some of these great benefits, and definitely, like you said, activating those longevity genes and all these longevity pathways are certainly activated. And I'm just fascinated as well about the exposure. Actually, this is the first podcast I have on cold exposure and ice bathing, and shockingly, because I'm so into it myself, but I rarely talk about it. So I post things on Instagram and all that, but I think this is a great chance to explain a little bit more in detail what that is and what that looks like. So we got some of the benefits. Are there any other key benefits that you wanted to point out?
I mean, here's the thing I will say that is the biggest benefit in many cases that I see. We have all these physiological benefits. They're amazing. We have mood boosting benefits. Wonderful. It helps with sleep. Lots of people having tough times sleeping. Thermoregulation, when we talk about, perimenopause and menopause, hot flashes, things like that. There's some studies showing lots of them in rats, but studies showing even with women. There's a couple groups, I think 50 women over in Finland or something, that in a study I was just reading about, just talking about the massive benefits of thermoregulation by getting in cold when they're dealing with hot flashes.
Remember that study I sent to you as well, the ones in the Baltic Sea in Poland? They were all...
Oh, that's it. I'm sorry. That's the one. Yeah. The ones, it's in Poland, not what I say, Finland. Oh, so I'm addicted to
Finland.
Oh,
is that one? Yeah, that was an incredible study. I mean, it wasn't huge, but they were mostly menopausal women. So we're going to talk about, the menopausal women, because the question is, should older women be doing this? Like, maybe you want to share a little bit what the study showed.
When you're talking about thermoregulation, I mean, there's a lot to unpack. When you're talking about thermoregulation and hot flashes, right, which come in menopause. And when I look at the things that happen to our body as we get perimenopausal and menopause, I always am like, perimenopause, we got to keep it in the mix when we're talking about it, because it's becoming a longer and longer journey. Women are falling into perimenopause sooner. And if they cannot mitigate that time of their life, sometimes perimenopause is lasting years. And so this is, in my opinion, and maybe we're seeing some of this in the research, is like, there's a lot of environmental factors and toxins and things like that. And if we're not getting those detoxed or out of our bodies, they can contribute to that. But when I look at those things, when I look at sleeplessness, when I look at the body losing, it's not that we lose capacity to thermoregulate, right? It's like our body is like sending a signal over and over and over again to make more estrogen. And that's what's making us hot. It's like, that's the perimenopausal thing of hot flashes. And so it's like, hey, make more brain, make more estrogen. And the body's like revving up all its systems and all its hormones to do that. And then it's like checking in with the estrogen levels. And it's like, oh, I guess we didn't make enough. Let's send more signals. And so that's creating the heat. But it is a very challenging thing and a little bit intense. Let's just say that from the women that I work with that were experiencing hot flashes all the way in and through menopause in some cases to manage. And there's people will talk about black cohosh and lots of things to work on, but there's a big piece of this cold exposure thing that's teaching our body how to regulate temperature better. Meaning if you're going to have extreme temperature fluctuation, your body is more equipped to deal with it. And the one other thing I want to say about this age category and benefits, which is not exactly addressing the question you asked, but I'm going to say it anyway, is it's an interesting time of life as we get, 40s, 50s, 60s, where I think there's part of us that like potentially is like, you know what? I don't care about what people think anymore. I'm going to do what I damn well want. I got a life behind me. I have successes and excellence. I've, put practices into play. Hopefully we still have a growth mindset. That being said, It's a time where we think a lot about, okay, I can stand in my own power as a woman, as a wise woman. And there is also a thing societally that we see that is a little bit of this shame dynamic and the cutting down of women of a certain age, right? We see it in Hollywood. We see it all over the place. And it's again, goes back to the thing that I see with clients, no matter what age, especially females that I'm working with, which is what we think about ourselves when we look at a reflection in the mirror. And so you're wondering, how does this have to do with cold? But the reality is the number one thing that I see with cold exposure is that women, especially women 40, 50, 60, step back into themselves, like into their badass selves. Like, I already know that I don't have to like be so affected by what other people think because I have a life of experience to really beautifully, be in and be kind and not worry about how it's coming back at me and, parry off the stuff that doesn't feel good and all of that. But then women in perimenopausal, menopausal years get in the cold. And it's like doing, I used to put like 6-year-old women in handstands when I was a young yoga teacher. And I didn't even understand why they would like leave the room some days. Like they had just had sex. Like they were like, oh, that was amazing. Even against the wall, right? We're just up against the wall. But it's like, we stop doing the play in some ways, and we stop living a little part of our like rock star inner selves. And then when I get women in the water for the first time who maybe haven't done something extreme like that, they step almost automatically right back into their badass, right back into their, that little glimmer of them that was like, maybe, well, I guess I'm too old for that, right? Like you and I, we don't like to ever say that. We don't ever want to say like, I'm too old for cold, or I'm too old to do this thing. But there is a small little voice in our head from society shunting us to the side a little in some ways as we hit 40, that we're like, well, maybe I should just be smaller. And we've spent our whole lives, and this is all I do with coaching, is trying to not have people be smaller. And then we have another instance of it when we hit our 40s, 50s, and 60s. That sucks. And I want people to not have that. It's not a judgment on anyone, because this is like what the world is. And it's like, also as our psychology grows, we start wondering about our mortality in life. And then I put people in cold and they're like right back in it. New context, standing strongly in their own power that they already had, and then also feeling like the mental toughness and clarity, and in many cases, the mood boosting effects that make them soar, that help you step back into the full expression of the person or the female that you are. And so I know I didn't exactly answer the question. I'm all down about the research and what I see, putting over 2,000 bodies in the ice, like most people one-on-one. It's incredible. It's like an incredible shape-shifting transformational practice that when people are like, well, it's just ice, it's just edgy, it's just on social media, Lady Gaga's doing it. I want to say, you know, it is so much fucking bigger than that. If you could just sit, if you sit and watch all these bodies that I've watched go in and out of the cold, like I know Shannon is, who's on this call, is seeing this too with people that she's working with, because she's in the industry, but it's really, it's breathtaking.
It is. I'm so glad. No, I knew that this is such an important point that you added. So I absolutely agree. And you explained it so eloquently, because what I was going to say is the biggest thing that I see when I get people also in the ice bath, because I used to do health retreats in Thailand. That's where I had my first ice bath and really sort of understand it. And I was watching the practitioner bring my clients in there and out, and I just saw hundreds of people, not only my clients but just other guests in the hotel, and every time, so you get these people in the ice bath, they come out so empowered. And that's what I felt as well, because it's that, especially that first time, it's that anticipation. Yeah. It's just horrible. Like, is it going to hurt? That's all I asked. I was like, is it going to hurt? Like, is it painful? And the instructor said, yes. He said, yeah. So
that's the number one question I get, people standing at the side of the tub before they go in. And I think it's just, they're trying to delay what's about to happen. And they just will literally look up at me and be like, it's cold. It's going to be cold. And I'm like, no, oh, you know, it's going to be cold. We're here for it.
Yeah. But I did feel that myself, and I saw it in every single person who came out of that, is, wow, if I can do this, I can do anything. All those other things that you had doubts about, for some reason, are there's no doubt anymore. I loved that about the ice bath. It really empowered people. And I had all kinds of people who had fibromyalgia or had body image issues or had depression or had, you know, and they just came out with a completely different perspective, and they would go over and over and over again, kept going in. And it's funny, because you think, well, it's uncomfortable, right? And then, but they see the benefit, they feel the benefit. So I would say for me, the biggest benefit, or the thing that I really noticed right away, was that empowerment. And that just stays with you for the rest of your life. I think that's, everybody's got to try it at least once to feel that. But why don't you explain a little bit what ice bathing experience looks like and feels like? Totally. If you, otherwise people go on Google, you have to go see it, but I'd like
you through it all. Yeah. So there's a lot of different ways to do it, right? That let's just, we'll briefly touch on this one fact, which is, if you want to start and you're nervous about submerging yourself in water, you start with a cold shower. And the goal of the cold shower is to get to a place where you turn it on cold, only cold, and you go 3 minutes in. And then you get out and you never have warm. Now you can start with contrasting, or if you're going to get up in the morning and you got to get ready for work or whatever, you can soap your whole body down and then turn it to cold and contrast and all of that. If you have a bathtub in your house, easy peasy way, inexpensive way to go get ice. And then there are people that stack into like, I'm starting to fall in love with ice. Where do I go next? And I would say typically it's putting a trough in a metal or plastic trough in your backyard, or people will convert a chest freezer quite often, which sounds a little wacky, but it's actually really an inexpensive, very effective way to get cold exposure on demand without having to like buy all the ice and schlep all that. Because once you've done that for years, you get over it pretty quickly. My friend John Richter, who's here in Texas, has a like a $14 ebook or something. And it's like, it's called the chest freezer coldplunge.com or something. And it just tells you how to convert any chest freezer really easily, because he's made, admittedly, he says he's made every mistake in the book. And so he wants you to avoid all that. And then we get to like where the jam of this, which is what does a cold bath feel like and look like? And it's typically a tub of some nature, a vessel. If you're lucky enough to live in a country, continent, or time zone where there is winter and ice swimming and things like that, it's absolutely completely and totally available to you all the time. Or during specific seasons, you can do it outdoors. I always like to remind people not to do it outdoors alone. The way that ice can cut your body, the way that the water moves, the way you can get, there are some safety precautions to take there. So do it with a buddy, but you want to use water that is preferably in the range of ish sub 40 degrees Fahrenheit, maybe 3 degrees Celsius or less. We want it to be cold. And that's where there is a range again in the research, but where we're seeing most of the benefits is we're activating these cold shock proteins. And so it has to be cold enough in some way. There's a chart for that in some way, right? There's like an imaginary chart that is how cold is the water and how much time are you staying in? And what is a minimum effective dose for you? If you live in a hot climate and you're acclimatized and you're adapted to heat really well, that's awesome, but you may be less adapted to cold. If you are going from the house, if you live in Arizona and you're going from your house to your car, to the office, to your car, to the restaurant, you're always in these wonderfully temperate air conditioned environments and ice water is going to feel cold to you. So what is cold to you is important to know, and what the time is and what the temperature is. And the ice bath will have, I mean, if you're buying ice, this is a big question. If you're buying ice for yourself, this sounds like an astronomical amount, but dilution and melt rate and all of that, it's like you want, get a friend, because you don't want to go get all this ice and do it alone. Then be like, I have this great big ice bath and no one's here to do it with me, or do it with your family. At least 80 pounds of ice is typically what I say to start. It doesn't mean you can't go get like 30 pounds and try it and just temp it down a little, but at least 80 pounds of ice, hundreds better for a solo person and a couple people to do.
So one big bag is a 10 pounder and how much does that cost? And you get 8 of those or?
They separate ice in 3 pounds, 7 pounds, and 10 pounds, depending on what kind of party supply, grocery, whatever you're going to. So you just have to do the math on it. I have this beautiful, speaking of John Richter, who's the chest freezer guy, he's a super nerd. And he like made this chart that he just gave me permission to use. Oh, Shannon, I need to share it with you. I don't think I did yet, but it's permission to use, which is like, how many bodies are going in? What's the temperature of the air outside? How long is your experience going to be? And it's like the cheat sheet on how much ice you need to buy, but 3 pounds, 7 pounds, 10 pound bags, got to do the math to just divide what it is. And I would say, you know, it's like 100 pounds to get, you can run like 5 people through 100, 150 pounds over a course of an hour or so ish, depending on how hot it is. And if you're in the shade or whatnot, but, and then there's like an ice or a vessel or a tub filled with ice water. And once you fill it all up, then that's where the magic happens, is you have to get in it. And that part is, to me, it's a direct correlation on understanding your nervous system and utilizing breath to reverse engineer the nervous system so that you can get in the cold and master it. And you don't have to be perfect at it. And everyone on the planet's physiology or nervous system will have a response when they step in wildly cold water. You're going to have something like takes a little bit of your breath away. That will, as you adapt and you get used to it, you will start to be able to step in and not have that anymore. It doesn't mean that you're not having a sympathetic nervous system response. It's still happening. It's still cold. Your body's going to recognize it. That's what our bodies do so well, is keep us alive. And so really understanding how to utilize the breath. We've, in the age of Wim Hof, we've seen a lot of different breathing styles. None of them are wrong. This is a really big thing in the industry. I'm a firm believer in rising tide lifts all boats. You know, I teach an instructor training around breath and cold water and super passionate about the category. And I love Wim's work. So thankful for him. The reason I set up my training is I wanted people to know all the crayons in the crayon box, all the colors on the palette they could paint with when it came to breath and cold. I can get used to a specific style of cold plunging. And you might be like, great, I did it 6 times, it's not hard anymore. Or I did it 30 times, it's not hard anymore. You can always titrate up. You can always find ways to do advanced protocols. And you can always shift the breath work in order to utilize and make some of those changes. And so how do we find all of the masters in this world and all of the people who are doing this really well and learn from them all? And that's what I tried to put together was a training of people could be like, I'm not here to teach you the Kristen Weitzel method of breathing in cold water. I'm here to tell you all about the beautiful practice and then everything I know. And then you can take it and run it with it and say, this is what I like to do. I always start with people 2 minutes in the ice. I love a 3 minute. I say two, but like Shannon will attest to this as she's here because it's like two. And then it's like, actually, I'm just going to run the clock for you to three, but we got to start with a goal. And this is a you against you. It's a PR. It's not about what Tony does or Joe Rogan does or Mary down the block does, you know, Juanita does. It's not about any of that. It's about you. So what does it feel like to breathe yourself into feeling better, standing by the ice bath? The anticipation is worse than the ice bath itself. And then actually step in, like leap there and have the net appear. And the net is you. The net is your breath. And the capacity that you actually have in your body is way more than you even know. That's kind of what it feels like as an overview.
Yeah. No, thank you for explaining that. Just because people are visual.
Hey, I'm butting in for a quick second. If you enjoy the content brought to you in this podcast, consider supporting Hack My Age by becoming a patron on patreon.com. This is where you can drop a tip or become a member for the price of a coffee. Members get special material, free coaching, and private Zoom calls. Join us by going to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/hackmyage. Thanks for your support. Now let's get back to the podcast.
When I first did the ice bath, this was in Thailand. And so it was great that it wasn't in, you know, Finland, we go out of the bath and we're in sunshine. But every time, so I didn't know anything about the ice bath back then. So, but with every client, he made us go in for 20 minutes. And so I thought, oh, wait, that's normal. And then eventually he worked me up to 45 minutes and I'm all proud of myself. Oh, I'm 45 minutes. And then as I start reading literature, I start learning more about it. I realize, oh my God, it's not the more, the better. You start to have diminishing returns after a certain point. So what would you say is the ideal amount of time in, this was 4 degrees Celsius. I'm not sure what that is in Fahrenheit, but you know, if you were in something about a 4 degrees, then what is the ideal amount of time to be in there?
If you're in that like sub 40 range, if let's just say you're in anything from like 2 to 6 degrees or that and 36 to 44 degrees or something like that in that range, there is the ideal time for each person is contextually really bio-individual, like a lot of biohacking. That being said, you know, starting with like a let me work to 2 minutes. Can I get to three is a great place to start. But the reality is you have to play with this like it's an adventure. And when you get out, you want to have your body have a shiver response. Now that shiver response is not one that exists if you take it too long and you go to failure. Like I think I told you my Finland story. I mean, I didn't die, but I was like cold air temperature, sauna wasn't working, assumed it was working, got out of the cold and wow, it was a lot, right? You have to do things. There's things you can do with your body to heat, warm up your body. So it's fine. But really, you know, understanding what it feels like to get to a shiver point. And that is you're getting out of the bath. Maybe you're having a light shiver even start in the ice bath and you're getting out and you're having, if you haven't had a shiver response in the first 5 minutes, then maybe you can titrate up next time. Maybe you have no shiver response. You know, there's people is like a John Wilburn, who's like an ex-NFL player, is like, I don't ever shiver. And I'm like, I can make you shiver. But it's just about titrating down temp and up time and doing that smartly, right? We don't all need to Ben Greenfield it and put like red light on our balls and inject stuff in our system and all this stuff. Like as women, this is a big part of my platform talking about we are equally sensitive as we are powerful. And that is part of our gift. And also we need to play in the space to understand that sensitivity and that your 5 minutes one day may set you into a shiver response and the 5 minutes the next day may not. And that is because of our allostatic stress load. What other stresses are going on in your life? What's the air temperature? And like, you know, how many smartphone things, who yelled at you that day? If you're exhausted and you got shitty sleep, if you're not eating well, if you're trained for 9 hours at the gym or whatever, So understanding that is important. But if we're going to start somewhere, I'd say start at a 2-minute mark around that temperature window, see how it feels, and then titrate up and then increase the load, right? Increase the cold, increase the time and decrease the cold and play there. 3 minutes, I think, is pretty, I'd say 80% of the people I put in, more than that, 90% of the people I put in are doing 3 minutes. 2 minutes, if not, I like to say, I haven't lost anyone yet. What I typically mean is I don't really have runners, meaning like someone who's like, I'm out, and they're running away. You can kind of see it. And I've gotten to a place in my coaching where I feel like I'm right there. I'm not literally in it with you, although that's happened once or twice with people I know well. I don't climb into the ice bath with anyone I don't know well, but I'm not literally in it with you, but I'm an incredible space holder. This is the thing that I've learned about myself. And I just watched a podcast where some guy's like, what's space holding? That doesn't mean shit. We're all just saying this. And what is that? And it's like, cool. You don't want to use that term because it sounds too woo-woo. That's fine. All my life story, all my issues, all my traumas and everything, they are not present. They're out the door. I'm there to coach you. I'm fully turned with my switch on. And I am like there right next to that person going through what they're going through. And I've done a really appropriate intake, so I understand where their triggers might be, especially if they're dealing with like water trauma from their past or anything like that. So part of the reason it's cool to get a coach or do this in a group is when people are holding space for you energetically and are there to support you. And if you get teary-eyed or you get excited or you laugh or it's easy for you or whatever, they're just there. That's a really important thing for, why I say doing it in community. We have an oxytocin dump that really helps us bond with people when we're doing crazy things like that. And 2 to 3 minutes in that time window, somewhere around there. And then around that 40 degree or 4 minute mark, 40 degree Fahrenheit, 4 degree Celsius mark, because a great place to start. And then you have like nowhere to go, but everywhere else. The thing you talked about that's point of diminishing returns is when like Rogan sits in, poor Joe Rogan. I mean, not really, but poor Joe Rogan, because I always use him as the example. He does 1 minute in the cold plunge and that's great. Cool. And then, what happens is like he gets and he does it on social and then he gets off social. And then I'm sure like Jocko and Goggins and his whole crew are like, dude, 1 minute sucks. You better go back. You could do better than that. What are you? You're not a man or whatever they say. And then he does 20 minutes live on Instagram in a cold plunge. And I think, cool, like he MMA and badass guy and, whatever he's trying to do. But what I don't love is like, I don't want it to deter people from trying because he's like, he's past the point of minimum effective dose of helping his body. And he's at point of diminishing returns. Like that is what you were talking about. Like you can go too far. And if you're like convulsing and shivering and having all the responses, not necessarily the place you want to go for longevity. And also that being said, Joe Rogan, if you're listening to this, call me tomorrow. Let's sit next to each other in our forges and see who can go longer. I'm up for it. You know what I mean? Like there's a gamification and there's super amounts of fun to be had. And let's not put ourselves into hypothermia, right? We have to like safety first.
I'm sending this to him. We'll see if he takes on the challenge. We'll see. Men versus women. Let's see that.
All of it.
Okay. You've explained this so well. I'm so glad you mentioned that as well, because people will think the more, the better. It's just not that way. And that's where biohacking too can really go wrong as well. One thing I really want to stress for people, this is what I've seen is like you said, don't do this alone, unless you're doing, cold showers or whatever. But if you're going to go in an ice bath or jump in a lake or something, do it with an instructor and do it with a good instructor. Fortunately, the guy that I was doing with, I don't think he was that great, but he somehow got everybody in. But do it with somebody. And so my question is, I mean, people who are listening to this or don't live in Texas, like what if they want to do it with you? Do they have to fly out to you? Can you do it online?
I've done it online. I have plenty of clients I work with that the furthest one I did was a woman in Indonesia who was like, let's do an ice plunge. And so she set up, so cute. She set up a little stereo speaker to have music. And then she set up the iPhone with her volume on, like all around this. It was a chest freezer conversion. And I coached her through her first ice bath. And that was like super beautiful because that's so far away and in the other side of the world. And we can have that moment together. And she was like a little choked up after. And it was just really incredible. It's a little harder to do because you can't like hug it out after, but that was amazing. And now the cool thing is that I'm doing these Sherpa breath and cold instructor training. So I have a program that's here in Texas. I run community sessions and like private birthday parties, like I'm doing tonight and stuff to celebrate people. It's just a really nice non-alcoholic way to you know, have a gathering of friends and do something exciting and exhilarating. And people can come to the trainings, and the trainings are typically like, someone will call me and say, I have a gym, a space or an ice tub or whatever. And I have some coaches or friends or plant medicine facilitators or whatever it might be in the world. And they want to get together and contextually focus on breath work and cold exposure. And then I come to you, and that's, how great is that?
Actually, that's a great idea, a great party event. I never even thought about it, but absolutely. Why not? It's a healthy way to get people together. And like you said, it's oxytocin. It's bonding. Yeah. You're going to leave that party with, you know, love and affection and empathy and compassion and just loving everybody without being high or smoking something or drinking too much. I mean, this is really, really a natural thing. I just was interviewed yesterday by Zico Health. Narando is a guy, biohacker, and the whole topic was oxytocin. So I'm really oxytocined up right now. I love that hormone. And I think you absolutely hit the nail on the head because what a great party thing. I want to open up the panel because I'm sure everybody has their questions right now. But before we do, I want to talk about a woman in her 70s and 80s, even older. So is this safe physiologically? Is there going to be any difference happening physiologically to that person as opposed to a younger one?
Good question. I mean, here's the thing, right? There's some contraindications. More and more, like, people are yelling at the rooftops, if you had a cold exposure practice and you, let's just talk about pregnancy, because we should talk about it, even if we're talking about menopausal years, whatever, let's make sure people know there are some contraindications. Really bad, like really challenging forms of diabetes. It doesn't mean I haven't seen people diabetic get in the cold. I would say it's a contraindication. Any major heart conditions, just understanding that shunting blood and vasoconstricting and all the things that happen in and out of the cold is important for you to just be okayed by your doctor to get in it. And with pregnancy, there are many, many people who are now saying, if you had a practice before, you can have a practice again. I think it's very important that you know your practice is solid and stellar, that you haven't had any fertility issues, and that you are potentially maybe even taking the first trimester off. Like, it's better safe than sorry. You know your own body, and everyone should do that as they see fit or their doctor sees fit, because you're talking about carrying another life, right? You don't want to jeopardize that. That being said, what do we do as we get older, right? There's so many pieces of this ice plunging practice that are maybe something like, when you look at the weight room, we shy away from the weight room a little more, generally speaking, as we age. And that's the thing we don't want to be doing. And cold exposure, even if we've never done it before, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s even, has so many benefits, including like just mobility, right? You're decreasing inflammation. You're decreasing inflammation in a way that is just going to help you move around in the world more effectively and efficiently. And Zora, what I see a lot is people will take in breath and cold, and if they don't have a perfect foundation of all the other things, they start to feel into like, ooh, this feels good. I have more energy. I have more, like, my mood feels like a little bit more excited to go out and make that big salad for dinner instead of ordering Chinese food, or not to slay Chinese food, but just making better choices about food and making better choices about going out for a walk and like getting into nature. I just interviewed this morning a gentleman who's cold swimming and time in nature were the things that, without chemo and radiation, hands down, were the things that changed his entire life, because he was like stage 4 leukemia, lymphoma, all of this stuff. And just like the doctors were like, we're throwing our hands up. Like, he swam the Willamette River, like 180 miles over like a bunch of days. But they're like, it had to be the cold, you know, it had to be this time that you spent in the cold that helped the leukemia, or like that dissipated leukemia. They couldn't even find it in his body anymore after this swim. And so I'm not here to tell you that it's going to cure everything, but I'm here to tell you that we have so many ailments that show up in our life later in life, that this is a practice that you don't want to ignore.
I think you're right. As people do shy away from it, they go, I hate the cold, but I think sometimes we need to seek discomfort and see what happens, obviously. But let's open up the panel.
I have some spider veins on my legs, which appeared in my second pregnancy to increase in weight. Would this therapy worsen these spider veins?
I mean, the general answer is it's hard to say, because I don't know everything there is to know about your body. But the reality is that if my strong belief system is that it will go in the right direction, we are having this thing where we like, we vasoconstrict and then we vasodilate. We shunt the blood to the core of the body and back out to the periphery. So it's this huge detoxification that happens in the system.
I know the extreme heat affects those because I was said by an aesthetician, I was used to wax my legs and an aesthetician told me that I should stop waxing my legs because of this. I wonder if the cold, the extreme cold, would have a similar effect.
It depends on what's going on with that vein, if that vein is sort of shut down, or if there's a feasibility of sort of reinvigorating it by shunting.
Yes, they are, I don't know, maybe they can worsen.
I haven't seen that yet. Doesn't mean it's not possible.
Some people have on their face those spider veins.
Yeah. And the other thing that's brought to mind, and it's not exactly correlated, but like just one other interesting thing that happens as we age is we become more insulin resistant.
I know that.
So the cold really works against that, right? It helps us build more insulin sensitivity. And even as I'm aging, I'm like, oh, my glucose response is very different now. It's like, I can see it changing and I'm like, oh, and the ice.
Aware, I'm 55. Respond much different than I responded
earlier. And so that's why we titled this talk, or Zora did this great job of saying, are we too old for cold? And I think that now more than ever is the time.
I'm cold. I'm just about my appearance. I'm concerned.
Yeah, of course. And that this is a beautiful opportunity to as you're shunting blood through your body and all of it.
Acknowledge is a useful therapy. I've heard many testimonies, including the Deva spray, which suggests to put the cold shower on the forehead and on the chest for 10 seconds to start with cold showers on the chest and on forehead, which is something I think I could do rather than plunging myself because of the legs.
Yeah, you can start there for sure. Your cheeks, your palms, soles of your feet are the most sensitive.
I don't have any of those spider veins on my face or only on my legs.
I want to say this one thing to you, Claudia, which is you get to 100% live into you. And also if there is a space or an opportunity to have, open yourself up to the potential.
And also my boyfriend likes cold
showers. So good.
I was complaining when he put cold water on me, so I could try to enjoy.
Yeah, like slowly but surely. And I think about it as an exciting adventure. Fear and excitement are close to each other, And I think there's nothing contraindicated in that.
By measure with benefit.
But thank you so much for being here with us today, Claudia. Appreciate you.
Well, I learn every time I learn something.
Claudia, you have not tried ice bathing yet. You're curious about it for the veins. That's the question, right?
Yes, I wonder because I know extreme heat worsen this condition, and I'm pretty sure that the extreme cold do the same. Basically, some capillaries, which now for years are very apparent, very not. No, I can't show because they're on my thigh. I can't. It's on my thigh. I can't.
Girl, I'm on you to shake your booty or your tail feathers for us. Listen, Rhonda Patrick has some good information on her portal around cold exposure. It's not specific to what you're talking about with the capillaries and the veins. And also it's always, I have to say, because this is the world we live in, that it's important to check with your doctor. But there are plenty of things that the Western world is saying, don't get in cold for. Raynaud's disease, which is a circulation issue, autoimmune conditions that I have
seen. I don't have a problem. My circulation.
No, I know. This is important to say for anyone else who's listening. There's a lot of things that are out there in the world that we're told, no, don't get in cold because it's an issue. And I think with people who are in the 11th hour being like, I just need to see if this will help. I'm going to try it once. That time and time again, experientially and anecdotally, we are seeing people clean up and their bodies are healing from autoimmune, or they are at least going into a better situation with that. Or Raynaud's disease, people just almost eradicating it completely. I don't want to make promises, but I say don't use it as an excuse not to try the practice unless your doctor has a serious concern about it. Yeah, so exciting. You're going to send us photos and tag Zora and Warrior Woman Mode when you go in the cold for the first time. Get your boyfriend to get all that ice and fill up a tub for you.
He's always willing.
That's good.
That would be great. We want to see that first experience. You got a hashtag. I'm going to have to let you go, Kristen, but I'm so grateful that you shared your experience. I still have 100 more questions. We should do another one based on the breath and breath work, because like,
that would be amazing.
Yeah. You're the Oxygen Advantage. You've done Oxygen Advantage breath work training. You've done all the other breath work training too. I've only done the Oxygen Advantage, but we do share that as well. And it's such a key component, not only for the ice bath, but just for life and aging well.
For sure. Yeah.
Are there any last things you want to mention before I let you go?
I just will say, if people want to find me, Instagram is the most sensational, at Warrior Woman Mode. I'm also at Well Power Podcast. You can find the episodes there, but at Warrior Woman Mode is where most people are finding me. And if you're interested and curious about breath and cold exposure, whether it's just doing it, getting some insight and information, or if you have a place and a crew of people and you want to do the Sherpa breath and cold instructor training anywhere in the world, I'm going to Maui in December. How's that? Teaching on Maui for December 7th weekend.
Is there any space for that still?
No, I just pushed it last week, last Friday. We just put it on the site.
Oh, so people can sign up for December.
People can sign up for Maui for December. It's like Hawaii, here I come. And there's one in Connecticut in the end of September. And I'm looking at 2023, Israel, Indonesia. It's really exciting to see where people are catching on to this and wanting to get trained. And if you are not wanting to go to any of those places and you want to go to SherpaBreathAndCold.com, you can look at the instructor training area and there's a portal and a one-sheeter on it. And I can come to you, anyone who's listening to this, and we can just rock out 2 full days of breath and cold exposure. And I just leave you like a champion and you can go rock your own.
Love it. I will have all the links in the show notes. People can find you on Facebook and Instagram so easily, the Warrior Woman Mode. And that's your website as well. The Well Power Podcast, I'll have that link as well. And you've got a biohacking program for women, which is awesome.
I do. And it has a module on cold and a module on breath. So if you really like, hey, this is too much, Kristen, not trying to instruct it or coach others or like, you know, drown, no pun intended, in all of the cold and breath, the women's course is a women's optimizing wellness course, like a women's biohacking course online. And it's a hybrid. We meet twice a month online live, and I do laser coaching and we talk about life and all the things that are needing support for each other. We are a community. And then there is a module on cold and a module on breath where you get some breath work and you get, I just recorded the tracks for the cold exposure module, which will launch soon up in Toronto with the other ship crew, who is amazing.
I encourage women who are interested in biohacking to really look at your program as opposed to one run by a man, because women are different than men. And everybody who's following me knows that I am a big advocate for women and women in research, or research being done on women. And we're finding out more and more of these sex differences. So biohacking is different for a woman. We have to adjust certain things because of our hormones and because our experiences in life. So I think you are the person to go to for this biohacking program. I am so grateful you're here. Thank you so much. I hope to have you again.
We'll talk breath.
The message is for women in ice bathing, you're not too old for cold. We're all bio individual. Don't do this on your own. There are contraindications. And if you pass the test, if you're able to do it in front of your doctor from whatever condition you have, then you're going to have some incredible benefits. So don't shy away.
Yeah, so much capacity. Thanks so much for bringing your sweetness and your intelligence to this platform, Zora. It's like really, you're a resource for women around the world. And I so appreciate, you know, being in this space and on this journey with you.
Oh, love it. Well, I'll see you again. Have a good day, good night, good morning, wherever you guys are.
Okay.
Bye.
Hey, did you enjoy the podcast? Don't forget to subscribe to be notified of all the new episodes and leave a review to help build the tribe. It's a small act of kindness that brings me big benefits and helps others find this amazing content. The best thing you can do is share. Sharing is caring. Statements made on this podcast have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Anything we say or products we mention are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Information provided by this podcast is not a substitute for personal medical advice and not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It is intended as a sharing of knowledge and information from the personal research and experience of me and my guests.